It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And it's time for quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network and GoPSURV.com. Andy, what's going on at GoPSURV.com?
Penn State football, tailgating, big screen TVs, not much traffic, easy access to the stadium, and the best way to watch a Penn State football game without going through all the hassle. That's just my opinion, but I don't know what's going on.
You're right, but there's more. For that first game, Appalachian State, our friend Mark is doing half price on his RVs, which is amazing. He's also doing an open house. This is pretty cool. It's a 3:30 game, Appalachian State. Friday night before the game, Saturday morning prior to the game, open house. There are those of you, our listeners, I know this because I've had people talk to me about it. They're interested. They're just not sure. Well, this is your chance to find out what it's all about. Tour the RVs, but get this. Free samples barbecue from our friends at 409.
Hold on, there you go right there. There you go.
Samples of the tailgate wine.
There you go. You should stop by. It's an open house. Like, it doesn't cost you anything.
And guess
what? Show up and check it out.
Our new friends at Labatt Blue will be there. And one last item, if that's not enough, Mark is going to hold a raffle for everyone who shows up, a free RV for the Maryland game.
Oh.
How's that? You got to show up, though, to the open house. Anyway.
Promote that. Show up to the open house and do yourself a favor.
Anyway, Andrew P. Shea in for Greg Pickle. I'm Jim Galante in for Dustin Hawkinsmith. How you doing, Andy, besides water in your basement?
I'm good. How you doing besides water in your basement? Hello.
Very good, other than that. Anyway, we talked to Greg in quarter number one. He was in Chicago, and we didn't get to ask him everything we wanted to. There's only so much we could get to. I know as we were closing up, you had another topic you wanted to bring up with him. What was that?
Yeah, I was going to ask him if he was interested in this, because I am, and maybe it's the football geek in me, but the new redshirt rule that allows the NCAA instituted for this season that allows you to play true freshmen up to four games, including your bowl game, without burning their red shirt,
right.
So you can, like, it's like you get to go through like a tasting menu, like you get to sample a little bit of some of those freshmen if you're looking at them, if you choose. So my thing was, you have all the Big Ten coaches there, right? You have a chance to ask them. I'm sure the approaches are kind of going to be a little bit different across the board. I would just be curious what each coach, A, thinks of it, B, what they plan to do, if they have any initial thoughts, how does each coach plan to employ this? That would be something that I would be very curious about, because I think it'll be different at some places, Jim. Like, I think at Michigan State, where they've gone with the, you know, the slow roll development is more the plan at Michigan State, where they grow you into football men before you see the football field, and then you get to play for a shorter period of time. But, you know, are they more, is Mark D'Antonio more, you know, is he going to think about putting some of these true freshmen on the field on occasion without burning their red shirt? Ohio State, you know, Urban's got a system there that works. He gets them ready for the NFL, and they don't play a whole lot at Ohio State. JT Barrett was the rare exception. So I would just be curious what each coach's thoughts and plans are on the new rule and how they plan to initially roll it out. And then maybe the flip question I would ask is, do they see a dark side of this? In other words, do they see a downside or the other side of this that could be problematic? Do they see problems potentially with this before they get to go through it? And I'd be interested if they see any of those as well.
Well, there's always the possibility of unintended consequences, right, when you do right. something like this. Let's talk about it in terms of Penn State.
Okay.
And James Franklin.
Right.
He typically has his red light, yellow light, green light, right?
Correct. So he's a mile ahead.
Yeah. So let's eliminate the green lights, who will play probably no matter what. The red lights, maybe he'll throw them in for a game for some, just a reward maybe for working hard in practice. Right. But that leads to the yellow lights, the guys you're not sure, the maybes. And I think part of the strategy is, well, out of conference games, you have your Appalachian State, your Kent State. You might be in a position to play more guys, but do you also run the risk of using up his four games and needing that same player later in the season if there's an injury?
Well, the first thing I think each coaching staff has to do is identify somebody on staff, and maybe it is the head coach in James Franklin's case because he's very hands-on management-wise. Somebody has to manage this. In other words, I don't think it's James Franklin. Somebody on his staff has to be charged with managing this, and it's almost like, you know, the coach assistant coaches in college basketball. You see, they always tell the coaches how many timeouts they have after they call a timeout. So I would think on Mondays an update would be that somebody's responsible for telling the head coach where they are at with the new redshirt rule in each guy. To me, you have to manage it well so that it doesn't become something that is not discussed or pre-planned. Like if someone's at three or they've used their four, but you think it's worth a burn. You know what I mean? That's going to be internal discussion. So that's, I think somebody has to manage it
on each step. But it's also, it's prior to the game though.
Oh, absolutely.
That they have to
do. A plan before the game.
They've got to know going into the game, hey, look, these are the guys who are at three, or these are the guys who are at four.
Correct.
That's one more appearance.
They're gone.
There goes the red shirt.
Red shirt gone.
Okay. Now, one thing though, I do want to clarify, and I think I have this correct. You mentioned, you know, and I think the vast majority of this is going to be about freshmen. But it's not necessarily have to be the freshman.
Correct.
So if you play your freshman year, you could have your next year be your redshirt year.
Correct.
And in fact, I even heard a discussion of, Jalen Hurts down in Alabama. He never used his redshirt, apparently, that if he doesn't win the quarterback position.
That's interesting.
They could conceivably use him.
To redshirt.
Yeah, but Jalen Hurts might say to the coach, hey, look, don't use me beyond the four games, because then, especially if he graduates in December, he could immediately go somewhere else and still have 2 years left.
Yeah, that's a player telling the coaches how he wants to be managed. That's interesting. Go out and win the job, I guess, is the first thing. That's more of a unique situation than the common thread, but you can redshirt at any point during your scholarship time. So,
right. So this,
it's an
this
interesting
rule could
management
tool. And earlier we said about unintended consequences. I think there is one of them.
That might be a problem.
And as
a
player, you know, if you're not winning the job, theoretically, that could have been Tommy Stevens saying that
last season. The unintended consequence could be the grad transfer, no penalty rule, you know, with graduating. Well, what about the redshirt rule now? Those two things together, that's got some interesting. We're not going to bring it up because we could go off on a tangent that would last 12 minutes.
Yes, trying to think up other possibilities.
But that's a good point. That's a really good point. The two of those together and there could be issues there.
There are a lot of things that could happen. Let's go back to Big Ten Media Day. We asked Greg what would be his questions. Now, you mentioned asking about the redshirt rule. What else would you be asking either Trace McSorley or James Franklin or Delaney or Jim Harbaugh for that
matter? Well, I would ask Delaney two questions. I know he's a fan of the injury report. I want to know what he thinks the NCAA plans to do about the legalized gambling in college football that's coming to this country. And the injury report, because the injury report is huge, and he's a big proponent of this. How does he plan to get more conferences on board, and what does he think the initial thoughts are from the NCAA in regards to this? I'd like to know, because that's an important component of that. That wouldn't be my number one priority to ask him. My number one priority to ask him, but I would definitely want to ask him that. My number one priority would be about the champion of his conference has not been represented in college football. And now in 2018, you have arguably, and I would say not with much argument, the best and deepest conference in college football. What can the Big Ten do to make sure that your champion is represented in college football? And do you see not having your champion in the college football playoffs, although Ohio State made it in 17 and they were represented, it was not your champion. It was not your on-the-field champion. Do you see that as problematic for your conference? That would be a question I'd want to ask him.
And as a follow-up to that, the things that I would ask is, well, first of all, I think we found out over these last couple years, no matter what they say about strength of schedule and everything else, winning championships, if this team, Team A has one loss, Team B has two losses, who's going?
Who'd you lose to and who's stronger?
Well, the team with one loss is going to go.
The team with one loss is most likely going to go.
And we saw that a couple years ago with Washington, a awful schedule, but they only had one loss.
And they went.
And they went. So
Ohio State had one loss, and they went.
Right. Over
they got
two
loss.
But they went over a two-loss champion.
Correct.
So if the priority is one loss, here are two things. First of all, if you're the Southeast Conference, I alluded to this earlier, they only play eight conference games. The Big Ten plays nine. And I'll give you, for instance, this year, Penn State plays the cross-division game. One of them is against Wisconsin. Guess what? One of those two teams is going to lose, theoretically, that ninth conference game, either Wisconsin or Penn State. And that's going to be a second loss for one of those two teams that potentially could keep them out of the playoffs. So you've got that. And the other part to it is, when you're making the Big Ten schedule, and I'm sure you wouldn't get a great answer on this, but if you recall a year ago, Penn State, Ohio State, probably the game of the year in the Big Ten, they both beat each other up. And then what do you do on the schedule? The following week, you have Penn State playing on the road against a good Michigan State team. You have Ohio State playing on the road against a good Iowa team. By the way, how did that turn out, Andy?
Yeah, that did not turn out.
They were 0-2.
Yeah.
Because they the way the schedule was made.
And here's the other thing. In the same year that Wisconsin, and they're going to be good. There's no flat out. And Greg Pickle was right when he said in quarter one, the onus is on them to bring a little bit more from the West to the table, right? But you're putting them in a position now where they're going to play Michigan and Penn State. Penn State and Michigan are three regarded as one of those top, either one.
Top 10, top 15
teams. Ohio State, Michigan State, Penn State, and Michigan. Any one of those four could win the Big Ten East. I'm just going to say it right now.
Right.
It's a crapshoot. Any one of those four teams has the potential to win it. Well, guess what? Michigan and Penn State also play Wisconsin.
Yep.
So there you go again. And I make the case for, your point is valid, that I think they're going to eat their own with the cross schedules in the ninth game, which is your sort of man crush thing. And I get it. It's very valid. They're going to eat their own. And do you end up with one loss team, but it's not the right one loss team, or you're champion and you got 3-2
or
loss
do
teams?
You end up with the best conference having no one loss teams? That's possible.
Right.
Andy, we could probably go on forever. That's it for quarter number two. We'll be right back with Ask Andy.
It's time to own summer with Labatt Blue. To have a can't-do-this-anywhere-but-Pennsylvania summer, hit the waters with paddles, backflips, cannonballs, and cap things off with a bonfire and Labatt Blue. Soak it in with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue light-loving Pennsylvania cans, celebrating Pennsylvania's summer spots. While supplies last, beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.